Hey, Loco sports fans. When you hear Horizon Rehabilitation in Sports Medicine, think advanced, local, and specialized therapy care. The team at Horizon prides themselves on the diversity of their 30-plus specialized treatment programs, including advanced sports medicine and orthopedic care, as they offer the area's only Alter-G treadmill and have an indoor heated resistance therapy pool. For nearly 15 years, Horizon's outpatient, physical, occupational, and sports medicine programs have been addressing the needs of athletes, weekend warriors, and their fans. At any level, at any age or stage, their specialized therapists and athletic trainers are ready to get you back in the game. Visit horizonrehabilitation.com for more information or call 843-671-REHAB. That's 843-671-REHAB. Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, proud sponsors of LocoSports.com. Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. I'm your host, Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr and Carlo Peruzza, and we're talking a little Loco sports in the South Carolina Lowcountry. We've got a lot to get through today. This is our non-football edition, although we will have a little bit of football in here as well. We're talking about everything else happening around the Lowcountry. Guys, let's start it like we always have. Check in with each other. How you doing this week? Things inching toward normalcy, and now we've even got college football underway, NFL, starting to talk about more sports happening. So hopefully this is a continuing trend toward getting back to full-on sports. But how are you guys doing this week? How are you hanging in?
I'm doing great. The week of the most normalcy that I've had since this pandemic began. I mean, a lot of great stuff going on. Got to cover Hilton Head Prep football. That was certainly interesting. Interesting game. I was caught in the rain a few times. It wasn't fun, but I gotta give props to Hilton Head Prep. Good job in creating social distancing boxes on the sideline to help families follow the protocol. They're 6 feet apart. They're just little boxes that you can stand in or sit in to make sure you're socially distant. So nice job by that. I mean, there's still people sitting in the stands, but I think they were doing a very good job at least wearing the mask, either wearing the mask, social distancing. So I was very impressed by what they've done to follow the precautions and not have any chance of or at least minimize the chance of having to shut down. And on top of this, I got to cover a really exciting event in Hardeeville this past weekend, which was a ton of fun. The Lowcountry Elite 5K, a fantastic event, which we will get to later on. But what a cool opportunity this was to kind of cover some of the best athletes from all around the East Coast, pretty much. I mean, great to have the weekend being taken up by covering live sports, you know, because there were too many weekends stuck at home. And finally, we get to buck that trend. Football on Friday night, competitive race on Saturday, coming home to Clemson football. I mean, that was something I was looking forward to because I get to root for a winning team, and there haven't been many winning teams. I haven't had many winning teams to root for recently. So it was nice to see Clemson football. And then the NFL football this past weekend, so a full weekend of football, and how nice was that? Just especially after, I mean, if you talk to me in June or July, I would probably say we could be looking at a fall without football, and that would be that would hurt on so many throughout the country. Just, I mean, it would be very different, but they're trying their best, and the NFL all the way down to high school football has been working hard to put it on, and I gotta give credit to some of those college players for the We Want to Play movements. To kind of emphasize how important the safety is before we get to football. And they kind of made it so that these players, they want to play, but they were going to do it safely. And so I think that was a big part of saying, we want to do this and we want things to be safe. And so I think that kind of went down from all the way from the NFL to high school football. And so we're seeing that all over. So yeah, great to have football back. I mean, that's a huge part of fall in this country. And just so great to have that big normalcy back.
Yeah, Wes, I hear you, man. My weekend was pretty much similar to yours. Friday night covering the Hilton Head Prep Dolphins, and Saturday we were out at the 5K. And, you know, that's the first time I've really covered a 5K event like that. I haven't covered too much cross country. I've done a little bit of track and field over at USCB, but it was actually pretty cool. You know, me and Wes were in the back of the truck. That was kind of cool, sitting on the tailgate as the guy was driving it, and we got to film the runners. So that was pretty cool. It was crazy to see that some of these guys were doing their 5Ks in 14 minutes. I think I could do mine in about 35 minutes, so that makes me feel great. But, you know, it was definitely a pretty cool event to see. It's great to see that there's some really good athletes out there. And I think the coolest part of that event was the fact that they were coming from all over the place. You had runners from all over the country coming down to Hardeeville just for that. But, yeah, besides that, I haven't been doing too much. I've been having a lot of homework, so that's not really cool. I actually – this was pretty funny. So I had to do this speech review for one of my classes. And the speech that I chose, we had like a list, and I chose to do this speech on George Bush speech. So what was great was American history, they don't really teach that in Canadian high schools. So when I had to explain the historical context behind it and information behind it, I had no idea what I was looking at. So I had to pretty much teach myself American history, early 2000s American history, Sunday afternoon. So that was very eventful.
I'm glad you guys were able to get out to the 5K. I was not able to. It was great to get out to Hilton Head Prep and see the Dolphins in person. But then I was busy all weekend coaching baseball. It was a great weekend for our team. We went 0-2 on Saturday, but came back and went 2-0 on Sunday to win our bracket. So that was a lot of fun. Coaching 10U baseball is definitely one of my passions in life. So really enjoyed that. And you guys did a great job of covering the race. And speaking of the race, how cool was that? I mean, our friend Larry Kimball came on the show last week to talk about it. And I knew when Larry was involved with it and he brought in David Kroll and Tim Waz, I knew it was going to be a first-class event because those guys definitely know running and they know what they're doing. And then when he showed us the list of competitors, I was absolutely blown away. I know from experience how deep Larry's connections in the running world go, but that was pretty impressive, the list of runners they put together on a short time frame to come out here for a first-time race was pretty incredible. And hopefully it's the start of great things to come for, you know, more elite running opportunities here in the Low Country and opportunities for people to get out and see some outstanding runners. Because, I mean, we've got some great cross-country programs here. You know, Hilton Head's programs have been dominant for years. Bluffton has state championships. May River has state championships. Beaufort High's boys look like a state title contender this year. So we've got some great running here. And it's great to be able to bring in, you know, elite world-class talent and for these local kids who are, you know, great on the state level to be able to see what's out there for them if they stick with the sport and, you know, go and run in college and devote themselves to it, how far they can go and what heights they can reach. So I think that's just a great thing. Anytime that we can show our local student athletes who are trying to get to the next level a roadmap for how to get there and what it looks like when you do get there, I think that's a positive thing. So without further ado, let's talk about the race. You guys had a fantastic time out there. I know, Wes, you're a cross-country guy, so I know you really enjoyed it. And Carlo, I'm glad you got introduced to how much fun, you know, high-level elite cross-country races can be. But let's talk a little bit more about it, guys. Tell us about this race and what went down.
Yeah, you know, what a great opportunity this was. The one wish I would have had is that we could have had fans. I mean, obviously, it was a good decision not to have fans because of the pandemic. But if there wasn't one going on, I would have loved to see fans in attendance, especially the young runners, just to witness this. Because I think they could have learned a lot from watching something like this. And, I mean, these are a bunch of the best runners in the area. And, you know, Justin, I was kind of disappointed when because we talked in the interview with Larry Kimball. And one of the participants was a worldwide known runner, Zola Budd, the former Olympian. Unfortunately, she canceled all of a sudden, so we weren't able to have her run it. But it would have been awesome to see her out there. I mean, she's still running strong, 50 plus. I mean, I would have loved to see how she would have done and just see watching her live because she was an Olympic star back in the 80s and 90s. So. Unfortunately, that didn't work out, but even so, this was a really fun event. Carlo and I got to sit in the back of the pace car, as he said, gives you that ideal view of the race. I mean, I thought these guys were going to be fast, but I didn't think it would be record-breaking fast. What a performance by Annie Rodenfels, a 5K time of 16:08. It broke the state residence record. We didn't know. So 16:08 was actually the all-comers record, but we had to double check and make sure it broke. Unfortunately, did not make the cut, so was not just missed out on the all-comers record, but that's an amazing time. I mean, I got to say, she was a former steeplechase champion, and that's really demanding to your legs. I have major respect for any athlete in that discipline. She left the pack early. She kept up her form that entire race. And as a former cross country runner myself, seeing somebody casually running that kind of time of 16:08 is incredibly impressive. I mean, what a performance by Annie Rodenfels. Kate Sanborn finishing second with a time of 16:42, and then Tristan Van Oorn in third place at 16:52. And I mean, these are just incredible times for women's runners. Absolutely amazing. And then the men's race, it looked like it was going to be a two-man battle, but Eddie Garcia, he ended up pulling away at the end of the first mile, did get some pressure going into that mile one marker with somebody else. He kind of pulled away from it. And then Matt McClinic got a little close at the end, but just ran out of time, and Garcia was able to cross the finish line first. A couple Florida Gators in the top three. With Eddie Garcia 14:16, Josh Izuski 14:59 in third place, Matt McClintock, as I mentioned earlier, in second at 14:28. I mean, sub 15 5K is just astounding. I mean, I remember I had one friend in high school who could run a sub 16. I thought that was like some kind of godlike time. Like it's just incredible running that kind of pace. I mean, 14. 16 under a 5-minute mile pace. That's incredibly hard to do. I mean, what a show these guys put on. Conditions were fantastic. A nice breeze that came through, cloud cover, which helped the times. The weather really cooperated. What a fantastic job by our good friend Larry Kimball. And I hope this is the first of many, because he said, especially after this pandemic over, he's trying to put some to bring fans and have this be a recurring series of events throughout the area and of these elite races. So, because, you know, I think this really helps all these guys raise the bar, because these are your peers pushing each other to the limit. And it just really helps all of them succeed and push higher. So what a great event this was. I hope it's the first of many here in the Lowcountry.
Absolutely, Wes. It was a great event. And there were some great athletes there. I mean, I don't know too much about cross country and that sort of thing, but I really enjoyed it. I could tell. I mean, you could tell these are very well, highly trained athletes. And as you mentioned, some former collegiate ones, some Florida Gators. So that was kind of cool watching some former D1 collegiate athletes compete. The first race, the women's race, that was really a great race. And Annie Rosenfeld, she was on fire. She led from the beginning, and she was just dominating that race. And then for the men, Eddie Garcia, he put on a performance as well. I mean, it was pretty close during the front stretch. And then when they were on their way back to the finish line, it looked like Eddie just really sunk into his own, and he was able to get away from the pack and cruise in for the victory. But one thing that I thought was really cool is, so after the race, we were talking to the coaches, the coach of Annie and Eddie, and they put a lot of work into it. Apparently, they're training for the Olympic trials, and they're trying to do all of that. They devote their life in time to running, and you could tell all the hard work, it pays off.
Yeah, both the winners representing Greenville Elite Track Club up in the upstate, which great place to run, of course, with all the hills and everything. You know, you mentioned the D1 athletes. I thought it was neat that Annie Rodenfels is actually a D3 athlete. She ran at Center College in Ohio, where she won two national titles in the steeplechase and one in the 5K. And, you know, that's just great to see, again, to show student athletes who are in high school that, you know, Division I is not the only path You know, she's a professional runner now. She came out of the D3 ranks. So you can get there from here if you put in the work. And lots of representation from Greenville Elite, as well as from Zap Endurance, which is another great running club up in North Carolina area, North Carolina, Tennessee area, up in the mountains. So great to see those great runners come down here and perform in the Lowcountry. But you guys were able to catch up with the winners. So let's hear more from the Lowcountry Elite Invitational 5K here on the Loco Sports Slowdown Podcast.
All right, we are joined by Lowcountry Elite 5K men's champion, Eddie Garcia. Eddie, you ran a great race today. Tell me about your experience running this event.
This was a lot of fun. Yeah, we've since COVID, we've been training, getting in a good block of training. So being able to come out here and run a 5K is a lot of fun. So yeah, great event, nice course. Yeah, I had a blast. I had a great time.
You and Victor were going head-to-head early on that race. Tell me, how were you able to pull ahead for good?
Yeah, I wanted to get after it early today. I wanted to set the tone early and kind of run, you know, 4:30. That was kind of my game plan, and see how fast I can go. Going into this race, I heard the course was pretty flat, so I definitely wanted to take advantage of that. But yeah, felt pretty good. The last mile was a little tough, but I was able to, you know, hold that rhythm pretty good through the finish, so I was pretty happy with it.
Eddie, tell me about the preparation going into this event. What you have next on the docket, and if we have another one of these, we'll be back.
Yeah, so right now it's just been a solid block of training, like I said. I've been running pretty much every day since February. So we've just been doing a good amount of ancillary work, speed work, tempos. But as far as upcoming races, we're just kind of waiting to see what comes up. And if we can get more events like this, we'll probably shoot for those. But yeah, my marathon is my main event. So if I can get a marathon in the fall, that'd be great. So, yeah.
Awesome. Eddie, thank you for your time and congratulations on the victory.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Now let's welcome in the women's champion, Annie Rodenfeld. And Annie, you ran a near flawless race tonight. Tell me about the experience you had running this event.
Yeah, it was good. It was surprisingly flat for a road race. No spectators, but still just like a good experience, a really good course. Ran a little fast the first mile and then just kind of held back a little bit on the last two and cruised in for the win. It was nice. I thought it was going to be hotter, but it actually felt really good and breezy out there and shaded. So,
absolutely. The conditions were fantastic tonight. Just tell me about what this year has brought you with all the challenges of COVID and kind of your schedule being limbo all year. How did it feel to get back out there tonight and put up a great race?
Yeah. I had a race about a little over a month ago, but it was a track race. So it was good to kind of, I'm not as much a road racer, so it's something I need to work on a little bit and get used to a little bit. It's just different, not having as many people. It's usually more tactical instead of like just solely based on time, which I'm really geared towards. So it's good for me to run a little bit more tactical races. But it was really good to come out, have another race, see where my fitness has been, and just look forward to what's next. So yeah.
Well, you're coming off that PR you set a month ago in Nashville at the Music City track meet, and then to follow it up tonight, breaking the state record. What does that mean to you, and what's next for you going forward?
Yeah, I think that's a good starter point, I think, for just getting better on the roads. I guess eventually I'd like to, run sub 16 on the roads. I think that's a pretty big deal just because you usually run slower on the roads. I guess knock that state record lower, as low as it can be, I guess. I like to hold records. What's next for me, I think, just seeing what else pops up. I think there might be a race in Columbia coming up, another track race. So trying to gear up and get as much competition as possible before going into next year for the trials. So, yeah.
Well, your form was fantastic tonight. And I'm sure a lot of that success comes from your training at Greenville Elite. How have they perfected your running and have made you a better athlete?
Oh, it's been great. I don't feel like I necessarily came in super raw, but I still feel like I've improved a lot while being there. I think the main proponent has been just slightly more miles, but then also, yeah, just a lot of the ancillary work that we do. I just feel a lot stronger in races and workouts. I think I look stronger, and I feel less tired. Even though I do everything on my own out there, it's surprising how much better I feel during races now. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Annie, and congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Larry, what an event you put on this evening. A fantastic performance by several talented athletes. This was your vision. I'm sure you're thrilled with how this went tonight.
Well, we thought it went very well, and you know, we had some great athletes who showed up from all over the Southeast, from Lloyd Rock, North Carolina, to Charlotte, to Raleigh, Greenville, South Carolina, with the Greenville Elite. So we're more than pleased, and it gave some of our local athletes a chance to step onto this platform as well.
Absolutely, and you said you wanted to make this a more regular event. What would you like to see differently in the future, and how do you see this event series growing in the months and years to come?
Well, David Kroll and Tim Waz and I, we kind of put this together in about 2 months. So, and it was just a labor of love. So we're looking at maybe, and you might have to pull up David here, maybe like a half marathon in December. So Tim wants to do a 15K, so we'll negotiate a little bit probably.
Well, with the pandemic canceling and moving so much this year, we haven't really gotten a chance to see this kind of talent in a long time. What were you most impressed with the runners here tonight?
Well, I think it was really good. It showed that they were really training over the summertime, and I think that's throughout the country. They produced some pretty fast times. And when I called Mike Caldwell and Peter Ray at Zap and some of the local Olympic trial qualifiers and the women, they just wanted to come and race because they hadn't raced in 5 months. So they were more than happy, and they were training, but no place to go. So,
well, after so many months of waiting for something like this to happen, what a blast it was to cover it. Larry, congratulations for putting this together successfully, and hopefully it's the first of many to come.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Well, our next guest probably won't be running any 5Ks anytime soon, but when he's running after the quarterback, the guy is fearing for his life. We are joined now by Buford High School sophomore nose guard, Iman Smalls. And Iman, it's been a whirlwind for you lately. I know you got the big offer from South Carolina Gamecocks, the first one out of the way. How excited were you to get that call from your home state program, man?
I was very excited because my family, we grew up watching them. So, like, it was just a dream come true.
Iman, how were you able to speak with Coach Will Muschamp directly, and how cool is it to connect with these coaches of this program that you've been following for so long as a kid?
Yes, sir. I got to speak to him directly. It was nice. I was just taking it in the moment. Like, it was just it was unexpected. Like, I was just happy.
Obviously, the start is something big for you. I mean, you expect many more offers to come, but take me back a little bit. You said you really got serious about it at age 11. I know you've been involved with the Extra Mile Club. How much has that program meant to you as far as your development on and off the field and getting to where you are today?
Yes, sir, a lot. I've been with them since I was 9. They really just taught me, like, a lot of things, like how to be a man, how to be disciplined and everything. Like, I really love the program, and I haven't left since.
So I believe as a rising eighth grader, you were able to do something really cool. You were able to go up to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and you were able to go meet some Hall of Famers and then play a showcase game. How awesome was that?
It was nice. It was amazing. We got to get coached up by, like, coaches that coached in the NFL and Hall of Famers. Like, we got to meet Rod Woodson. It was the enshrinement week, so we got to meet Ray Lewis and all those. Who else? Who got enshrined that week? It was a lot of them who got enshrined, and we got to meet them and talk to them. And they gave us a talk. We got to watch the game for free and everything, so it was nice.
I remember when you guys made that trip, that was one of the first times that I heard about you. And then I saw you playing at Buford Academy in your eighth grade year, and I said, who is that giant guy? They said, he's in eighth grade. Obviously, you can't coach size, but being as big as you are, it's really important to be able to be agile and athletic. What do you do? What have you done to be in the shape that you're in and be able to move as well as you can for a big man?
Yes, sir. Just like ladder drills, just drills, always working and running, lifting weights. I started lifting when I was in eighth grade, but yeah, like, I really love the weight room. Like, that's one of my things.
Now, you're not the only young guy on that defense who's got big dreams. Several of your Extra Mile Club teammates have also made big splashes. Talk a little bit about just that kind of core group of young guys, freshmen, sophomores, and how excited you guys are to play together for the next couple of years.
it's just exciting because, you know, I'm just happy to play with them. Like, we've been playing together since we were 9, and it's just that connection, that bond. You know, like, I just know my brothers. Like, I love playing with them.
Iman, you guys, Buford High, what a turnaround you had last year, from 0-5 to a region championship. I want you to give some credit to Coach Libren. What did he tell you to help improve this team to get where they ended up at the end of the year?
He just told us, he said, stay disciplined. Like, disciplined teams win games.
Absolutely. You're going to be in a new region this year. You're going to get some new teams coming in, including May River. And so you're going to get to go up against a great quarterback in Ahmad Green in a region game. What are your thoughts on Ahmad, and how excited are you to go up against him again?
He's good. He's a good player. You know, he's, like, really shifty, and, like, it's hard to catch him. So, yeah, I can't wait to go up against him again.
Is there someone that you kind of strive to play like, or someone that you model your game after?
I would say Aaron Donald, but I try to be myself.
How much bigger are you going to get? You done growing yet?
I don't think so.
Iman, you guys, I think have a real shot to top May River and even win this region. Do you think you guys can do it? You think you guys can win the region? What's going to be the big key for you and you guys to get that region title?
Just go at it, you know, every play. Just go at it, work hard, stay disciplined.
Do you happen to know another guy who grew up here who's now playing in the Seattle Seahawks, Puna Ford, who's a defensive lineman up in Seattle? Have you been able to kind of know about him at all? And do you kind of maybe one-up him and do even better in the NFL if you get there?
Hopefully so, but I haven't heard of him before. But, yes, sir.
Well, you might want to check him out. Hilton Head High graduate a few years ago, defensive lineman of the year at the University of Texas, now playing for the Seattle Seahawks. So he's a guy much like yourself who, got started on the playing that three technique. It was new to him at the time, but Coach B.J. Payne over there at Hilton Head got him coached up, got him off to the next level. I was thinking the same thing as Wes. You remind me a lot of him, you know, just a big, strong kid, still kind of learning, exactly what, you know, how to control your body and all that stuff. But obviously you're planning to play on Saturdays. I'm sure the dream is to play on Sundays, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you have to do to get there?
Just be focused, work hard. That's a big for me, work hard. Try to outwork everybody else.
Eamon, how was quarantine like, especially after the coronavirus closed schools and kind of shut down a lot of your workouts in the spring? How did you adjust and work out during that time of quarantine?
I just went to go work out with my coach, one of my mentors, Coach Danzler.
Coach Danzler, obviously a great football coach, but he also coaches you guys off the field. He wants you to be good students, you know, good role models, good citizens. What have you taken away from that program, you know, that has helped you grow as a young man, not only as a football player, but as a young man off the field as well?
A lot, just learning little things, learning how to be like a better man to society, just learning, just a lot.
Iman, you're only a sophomore, but I think you're really you're growing already into one of the leaders of this team. Do you see yourself as one of the leaders on that defense now? And how do you use that leadership to help elevate the rest of the squad going into this big season?
Yes, sir. Just trying to get them ready, trying to get their minds right for, you know, the game, because nothing's guaranteed right now. So we got to take it. We got to take every practice like it's a game.
What kind of goals do you have set for yourself, not only this year, but, you know, before you wrap up your career at Buford High School?
For one, my first goal is I want to get on the board for bench. Hopefully, I want to break that record.
How close are you?
I think right now it's 365, and I'm at 315 right now. So that's one of the things I want to do. I want to break that record. I want to make All State. I want to be the school's like most sacks, I guess.
All right. Well, absolutely. With, you know, 3 more full seasons to play, I think all of those goals are very much in reach. And we look forward to seeing you chase down all of them, just like you chased down the quarterbacks on Friday night, man. Thanks so much for joining us on the show, and best of luck this season and beyond.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, we'll be right back with more here on the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. All right. Well, great to catch up with Emon Smalls. He's a guy who's been on our radar for a few years. I remember seeing him for the first time when he was at Buford Academy. You want to talk about a man among boys. I saw him out there, and I was like, who is that big old guy playing eight-man football? And it was Emon Smalls. Major props to Chris Dantzler over at Extra Mile Club, who's been doing a fantastic job of training young football players in Buford, not only to be great football players, but all around great young men and trying to get them on to bigger and better things. And certainly Emon is headed for that. I look forward to seeing this guy on the football field on Friday night starting next week, guys.
Yeah, Emon Smalls, everything about him is just so impressive. I mean, coming in freshman year and just having a phenomenal season. 9 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 47 tackles, just all over the place. And what a frame at 6'2", 300. This is the kind of guy that colleges are looking for and well-deserved having gained that offer to play at South Carolina. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of options once everything is said and done, had his high school campaign. And I'm really, really excited for what he's going to do this year and for this Buford team, because we had a couple coaches in our preview podcast for the public school season mentioned Buford High, how good they're going to be this year. And Emon Smalls, his name kept coming up because he is the centerpiece of that defensive line. And just his presence there is just elevates that entire defensive front. And just it's going to be a pain for those offensive linemen on the opposition to block. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to be doing everything for the Eagles team to elevate themselves to the conversation of being in the region chase coming into this year, Emon Smalls is going to be a huge, huge factor if Buford's going to want to take that top spot.
Yeah, I was actually out at Buford practice yesterday, the Buford Eagles. And one thing that I've noticed is, you know, Emon's excellent player. That entire defense, Justin and Wes, they are just stout. And I cover this team for past couple seasons, and every time I go and cover Buford, I mean, their defense is always incredible. And I asked Coach Bryce Liebrand about it, and he gave credit to his defensive coach. He says that his defensive coordinator is the reason why the team is so good defensively.
All right. Well, we certainly look forward to seeing Emon on the field starting next Friday night for Buford High School. But let's shift gears a little bit here, and let's wrap up this show with our teams of the week. And Wes, you always get the first pick in the draft. And as a cross-country guy, I think I have a pretty good idea where you might be going.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the running theme. And I'm going to go with – and the Buford theme, too. Kind of combining those two together this show. That's kind of a it was unintended, but it happened. I'm going to stick with the running theme, as I said, and go with the Buford cross-country boys. Who took care of – they took care of Somerville, they took care of Mary River, and they took care of the rest of the field. And then through opening meet of the season, they took – the title in this 11-team meet, and a couple really impressive things about the performance. For one, they did it without their star, four-way runner-up from last year, Marlon Belden. He's still recovering from an injury setback. So, and they still put 5 in the top 16. And guess who led the way? That golden boy, that kid, Gavin Moore, putting up a 17-14 as a seventh grader. Second place in his high school debut. Oh, my goodness. Just legendary stuff. I mean, we already saw him conquer the darn Cremator Ultra, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But, I mean, he's been waiting a long time to get this moment, and what a way to deliver it in his very first meet as a high school cross-country runner. So what a way to deliver it. He looked like a seasoned veteran out there. So I got to say, this Buford program, they're in great hands for many years to come.
Yeah, I think for me, team of the week, I think, you know what, I'm going to have to go with the Hilton Head Prep Dolphins tennis team. That is a team that I covered last week, and that was actually the first time that I think I've ever covered tennis, which is pretty cool. I got introduced to a new sport to cover, but that team is amazing. Those girls show up, and they show up to play, and what's crazy about it is a couple of those girls, they even have their own private coaches away from the team. So, I mean, they take it really serious, and I was talking, they're playing at Buford Academy when I went last week, and a couple of Buford Academy parents were like, yeah, watch, half of this Hilton Head Prep team are D1 tennis players. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's really cool to see that Hilton Head Prep is able to build a superpower like that.
Yeah, definitely an outstanding program. State championships 7 of the last 8 years in Skeezah. So very strong program there at Hilton Head Prep. I'm going to go to the volleyball court here. I'm going to say our old friend and intern, Brooks Simon's team, the Hilton Head High volleyball team, they're off to a perfect start. All region games so far, they're 3-0. They've only dropped one set in 3 matches. That was in a 3-1 win over James Island on Tuesday night. Won the first 2 sets, dropped the 3rd one, and came back to convincingly win the 4th to improve to 3-0 on the season. You know, they were already very strong last year. They added Addie O'Grady from the Hilton Head Christian team. She transferred over. She's been outstanding for them. Mackenzie Ryan, obviously a great player who's back from last year. Ava Edry has been phenomenal. And then McKenna Mason, the outstanding setter who was an all-stater last year as a freshman. That's going to be a really strong team, really difficult to beat. They haven't had any trouble so far. I don't really see anyone in the region challenging them, but when they get into the playoffs, it's going to be fun to see how far that team can go. And we'll certainly be looking forward to following them throughout the season because they are off to a red hot start.
It seems like they churn out some girls every year. I mean, ever since I've been there at Hilton High, they've had solid volleyball teams, been to some state championships, actually won it a couple years ago. And so it's been sustained success for this girls' volleyball program at Hilton Head High School, and even losing a girl like Veronique Magnan, who was one of our top choices for the All-Loco team last year, going to have some great victories this year.
Yeah, they've certainly been strong for a long time. I remember covering some really great teams back when Chris Gray was the coach. Carly Ledbetter was the star, and that was a long, long time ago. But Garrett Talarczyk has been able to continue the success, and they've been outstanding. And certainly Hilton Head Prep Tennis, also a long-standing successful program, and Beaufort High Cross Country has been very good the past few years as well. So 3 very deserving teams of the week. Many more didn't make the cut, but we'll try to spread the love around as the season goes along and make sure we highlight all the teams that are doing great things out there in the Loco. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Until next time, go Loco.
Yeah, watch the Loco Rundown.